I'm just naturally loud. Is that better? Sorry, folks. I didn't even notice I wasn't on. I do beg your pardon. Did you hear what I said? Shall I start again? Okay, thank you. So let's read from Genesis 39. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Some time later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to them, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "Well, this is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So I'll come back to that. I think if we could now have... I had the option of giving you Donny Osmond in a loincloth version, but I decided for some of you that might be a bit distracting. So we've gone with the lyrics so we can have a think about the response. Are we okay? Thank you.
Close every door to me. Hide all the world from me. Bar all the windows and shut out the light. Do what you want with me. Hate me and laugh at me. Darken my daytime and torture my night. If my life were important, I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door to me. Keep those I love from me. Children of Israel are never alone. For I know I shall find my own peace of mind. For I have been instead of my name. Forget all about me and let me decay. I do not matter, I'm only one person. Destroy me completely, then throw me away. If my life were important, I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door.
Some of you were there on the stage, weren't you? I could see it in your faces. I have to apologise, you're going to be singing that for weeks to come now. It sticks in your head. But is that, are those words a fair representation of Scripture and a fair representation of Joseph's response? I think if we think about our own response, Joseph, as you know, he'd had this dream as a young man that his family would bow down and worship him, and he'd fairly unwisely shared that with them. And they didn't take it too well. He got sold into slavery, ended up in Potiphar's house, and within a short period of time was running Potiphar's house for him. Then ended up in prison very unfairly. He'd done nothing wrong. And very quickly ended up running the prison. And if we were in that situation, I think there would be a massive sense of injustice, a sense of despair, frustration, and some of those words, you know, give me a number instead of a name. I mean nothing. I do not matter. You know, will I live or die? If we found ourselves in that situation, I think that would be a fair response. However, and this is no disrespect to Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber, I'm not entirely convinced that was Joseph's response. And this may be speculative, I like to call it preacher's license, but if we consider that the prison warder entrusted everything to Joseph, would you entrust the running of your prison, for which you were responsible and accountable, to somebody who sat in the corner in despair with their head in their hands, not knowing whether they were going to live or die? I'm not sure that's true. What I see in Joseph is a set of gifting and a dream. And the gifting stays. He's not reached the dream yet. He's had a shadow of the dream. He's run Potiphar's house, but he hasn't seen his whole family. He hasn't seen himself senior to them. We see gifting. We see a man born for leadership, good at admin, good at sorting it all out. And what I see in prison is that Joseph keeps serving. I think he's humble, and I think he just keeps doing what God has gifted him to do. I think within that, he doesn't grumble, and I think that's a key lesson for us. As far as we know, he gets on with what's in front of him. I'm reminded of Colossians 3:23. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." And again, I'm not sure the warder would have entrusted him with running the whole shebang if he was every day grumbling, "I shouldn't be here, it's not fair." But doesn't that reflect a little bit of what we can sometimes be like? And the third point, I think he doesn't give up on his dreams. I think he has a sense, he asks the cupbearer to remember him, to get him out of prison. But he actually has to tell him that he's there unfairly. I don't think he said it before. I think the cupbearer would know if he was the guy who every day was going, it's not fair, it's not fair, I shouldn't be here. I think Joseph actually has to explain to him, I left the Hebrew land unfairly, I've been imprisoned unfairly, so please ask Pharaoh. And I think he doesn't give up on his dreams. So what does prison mean for us? I'm guessing in this room there's not many of us who've done time, but there may be some. I've been in prison. I've been in once on a visit to Glenparva Young Offenders Institute with a small group to lead a Sunday morning service. And my recollection is just worth 2 minutes because it was very, very funny. We went to help the chapel service. Now, the young offenders are given an option to go to chapel or stay in their cells. So generally, they choose chapel. They have to behave or they get chucked out. So a room full of, 150, 200, 16 and 17-year-olds. Bit edgy, bit of energy in the room. And then, I don't know whose bright idea it was. I think it was the chaplain. It certainly wouldn't have been our minister we went with. Thought it would be a good idea to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. Perfect choice. So we decided there was only one way to handle this. There was a centre aisle competition. So that side versus that side, who can sing the loudest. And I'm going to attempt to do an impression for you of how it went, because it stuck with me for the rest of my life. I'm not a natural 17-year-old full of angst and energy, but it went something like this. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. And in all honesty, I can't hear that song without remembering that. So I hope the Lord erases that from your mind. I think that prison for us can mean a place of restriction. Sometimes we are aware inside of us we have a gifting from God, we have a call from God, but we've not worked it out yet. We've not achieved the dream, the mission that God's called for us. We've got that sense in us that there's more to do and there's more within us. And as with Joseph, our gifting is there. The gift is there, but often the opportunity isn't, and we've not yet achieved the dream. Very simply, there are many, many restrictions, and you can interpret it to your own circumstances, but I've picked out a few. Really obvious one, money. Sometimes our finances don't allow us to do all that we have in our hearts to do for God. Opportunity. Often we can find ourselves in situations where we want to do something. Maybe even in church, we've got a gift and a passion and a dream, but it's just not on the radar at the moment. And that can feel like a restriction, like you're not being all you can be for God. Sometimes relationships, being in a relationship, not being in a relationship, sometimes you're not on the same page as your partner. All of those things, just not God's time. It's just not yet God's time, but we can feel a bit hemmed in by that. Health's one that's hard to overcome. If we're restricted by our health, that is a very real restriction. Sometimes our circumstances. If we're working, we have less time on our hands. Whatever we do in the day, we don't always have the opportunity in our circumstances. And time. I have to apologise to Martin publicly at this point. As he says, I have a massive propensity to shoehorn as much into every day as possible. And that can be very exhausting to live with. Sorry, darling. 15 years in, he's got used to it. The irony is, this is the one leveller, we all have the same amount of time. But sometimes we can't do what is in our heart to do because of other things. So what is the purpose of our restriction? Well, I believe it's to develop character and faith. And I've blatantly stolen an analogy from my previous senior minister, David Sherman, who used to use this as part of his leadership training. And it's about an arrow. And the arrow is our mission for God, our dream, our destiny for God. The arrowhead, the point, is our gifting. Our gifting will determine where we hit the mark for God. And within our gifting, the more we use it, the more we develop it, the more we sharpen it. And when he fires us on his mission, the sharper our gifting, the more effective we'll be. In his analogy, the flight is our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to each other. So if we're every day listening to the Holy Spirit, then we will fly straight and true for God. And the bit that I really want to come to is the arrow shaft, which is our character. And David used to explain that how they made arrow shafts in Bible times was to take a wet stick and peg it into the ground to straighten it. I've become a bit of a YouTube expert on straightening arrow shafts by looking into this, and there are many ways of doing it, but almost exclusively involve pressing against the bumpy bits and straightening them out, heating and bending and applying pressure. And it's that place of restriction. In our character and our personality, we all have bumpy bits, bits that rub up against other people, bits that aren't quite submitted to God, bits of our old self that are still very much evident. And in our time of restriction, that's when God is straightening those out. So what is God trying to teach us? That character is more important than gifting. It's not the circumstances that matter. It's how you respond. If God's trying to teach you something and you don't respond, you'll find you keep coming up against it. And sometimes you see that in people who go church to church to church, always come up against the same issue and leave for the same reason. Because potentially they've not dealt with the thing that needs straightening out. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever come up against the same scenario lots of times? I wonder if God's trying to say something. I'm a massive fan of Jonah, and I just relate to his petulant attitude. Jonah finds himself in one of the worst places of restriction in the Bible, inside the belly of a fish. In his own words, seaweed wrapped around his head. But what amazes me about Jonah, I don't know if you know the prayer he prays when he's there, but I'm going to read it to you. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And what we see here is that Jonah had a call from God and ran off in the opposite direction. I'm sure you know the story. But when he's in that absolute worst place, he says, and it's such a statement of faith, I will look again towards your holy temple. What I have promised that I will make good. And it's just that real sense of faith. If you're in a place of restriction, don't give up on the dream. Stay in faith for it. God's working stuff out. And as we know with Jonah, the word of God came to Jonah a second time. And this time he obeyed. He learned. In the analogy of refining the silversmith heats the silver. And the dross comes to the top and gets skimmed off. But do you know what happens when the dross comes to the top? The silversmith turns up the heat. And do you ever feel like you're in that pressure? You're in difficult circumstances and God turns up the heat. He just wants to purify us. He often puts us in a place of restriction and we wriggle and complain. But he turns up the heat. Stick in there. He's purifying the silver. He wants to get rid of our imperfections so that people can see his reflection in us. So the three points I want to make is, in those places, keep serving. Stay humble and just keep serving. Keep in your gifting. The second one is, don't complain. And this is really, I'm preaching to myself, and those of you who know me know that. Don't complain. God's doing a good work. And thirdly, keep the faith. Keep believing what God said. It doesn't mean it's over. You're in a place of restriction. It doesn't mean it's finished. God's working on you. And do you know what I thought as well here in OBC? Those of you who aren't part of this fellowship, bear with us. You may be in a similar situation, but we may feel we're in a place of restriction. We've got a building project on. We've outgrown the size of this building. God's promised us stuff in Isaiah 60 that we've not seen all of it yet. And we still find ourselves, and to some extent there might be some frustration in you about that. But do you know what? God is refining our character individually and corporately. So I say it again, the response, keep serving. Stay humble and keep serving. You are part of this fellowship. If you're part of this fellowship, you are part of this fellowship. Keep serving. Stay humble. Stay full of integrity. Don't complain about it. Keep the faith. Keep believing. Keep believing the dream. And then slightly bad news, just as we're perfectly formed, he hides us in his quiver. In Isaiah 49. Let me just grab it for you. Sorry. Isaiah 49, before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. Unless the arrow's straight, it won't hit its target. But when it is straight, then it's a matter of God's timing. He'll launch us when the mission's ready. He knows what he's doing. And for many of you, there will be many missions. And in your gifting, you may be made into many arrows, and there may be other times of working on your character. But then sometimes we have to wait. We just have to wait for his timing. But be open to all he wants to do in us. I've got one final story I'd like to share with you, which was about when I was stewarding a while ago now, probably about 20 years ago, at Spring Harvest. And I had the privilege of being allocated to the over 55 stream. And so I was there in my neon yellow tabard on the door, and all these lovely people were coming in, and God gave me a word really strongly. And so I went up to the guy leading the seminar and said, God's just said something to me, and I wonder if it would be appropriate to share it. And he said, no, I don't think so. So I was a little bit taken aback. And, you know, you kind of said to God, did I hear you right? Or like, why did you give me that? And I'm not allowed to share it. Anyway, right at the end of the seminar was about taking and having opportunities in your senior years. As Angie Sherman says, retiring is about retiring, putting a new set of tyres on and you're good to go for another 30,000 miles. So right at the end of this seminar, a lady came to share her story. And what had happened was at age 16, the Lord had called her to mission in Africa. And in her own words, she bottled out. She knew it was from God and she didn't go. And at the age of 67, her family, her son and daughter-in-law and their children, were teaching at a school in Africa. And they phoned her up and said, Mom, we're really short of Bible teachers here. Would you consider coming out and helping us and supporting us? And age 67, she was going to fulfill the call of God on her life. And I just wanted to encourage you to keep believing, keep the faith, keep the dream. If you've got that sense in you of gifting and you've not fulfilled your potential, probably you haven't. Probably it's still to come. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you that you put destiny and purpose inside each one of us. Thank you for our unique gifting. Sometimes we feel restricted by circumstances and a lack of opportunity. But help us, Lord, to keep serving, to keep believing in your purpose for us, and help us not to complain. We open our hearts to anything you need to work on in us today. We allow you to make us into that straight and true polished arrow, to fulfill the mission that you have ordained for us, for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen.